Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. The tax deadline is approaching. Take a small action for your future and talk to your financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
A public health crisis is imminent, and as the humanitarian emergency in Gaza deepens, the United Nations agency responsible for public health, the World Health Organization, warns of a dire situation. With the numbers of casualties changing every hour, medical aid and supplies are urgently needed. Fuel supplies have run out, and things are at a breaking point as healthcare becomes a target in the ongoing conflict. Well, Dr. Margaret Harris is public health doctor with the World Health Organization. She joins us now on the line, and you're welcome, Dr. Harris, to the programme this evening. A media conference was held this afternoon by the WHO highlighting just how dire things are in Gaza. What we're hearing is 20 truckloads of aid are due to be transported over the Egyptian border tomorrow. That includes critical medical supplies. But I know WHO supplies have been stuck on the border for the last 6 days.
That's right. We've got supplies ready to be delivered. We've got five trucks loaded with supplies ready to join those convoys that we hope and pray, even those of us who are not religious are praying, that that border will open tomorrow, because it's days late for the people of Gaza.
And in terms of what those trucks will be able to bring through, I'm just wondering, what do you have available, and also how many people do you expect to be able to look after with the trucks?
So what we have are enough supplies, medical supplies, for the health needs of 300,000 people, and that's a whole range of things, from the standard medications. I mean, people don't have their blood pressure medications, they don't have their diabetes medications anymore, but also the emergency trauma supplies. So all the bandages, all the anesthetics, all the things that you need to keep on doing the surgery, plus all the kits for women who are delivering babies. 5,000 women are expected to deliver in the next few weeks, and there's nothing, there's no and no supplies, no equipment for them to deliver safely. So there are so many things that need to be delivered, and we are delivering the medical parts if we can get it across the border.
You say the time is running out for vulnerable people, and fuel is virtually all gone in Gaza. That's not going to be replaced, is it?
So that must be replaced. And that is absolutely critical for keeping the lights on, for keeping the ventilators going, for keeping warmth for babies in incubators. Without those things, essentially, hospitals cannot be the places of safety, the places of care they need to be. There is one hospital that has already had to transfer its patients because they ran out of fuel. Other hospitals are scrounging it wherever they can and really rationing what they do. But you cannot deliver a baby safely if there are no lights on. It's stitching up somebody, whether you're doing it in the corridor or in an operating theatre, you need light. It's absolutely critical that that fuel be delivered.
Is it your understanding, though, that it will be allowed through?
We are focusing on... I'm not party to those conversations or those negotiations. So, and we are, as I said, we are sending the medical supplies. Mm. So I'm not the one who knows what's going on with the fuel, but we do know it has to get there.
You talked through some of the medical supplies that need to be brought in. Is there anything that is particularly urgent?
Anesthetics, pain relief, disinfectant. We're hearing from doctors that they're using vinegar. They've run out of anything else. If you can't disinfect a wound, no matter how well you stitch it up, you're going to get an infection. If you don't have bandages to cover the wound, if you don't have the swabs to stop the bleeding, no matter how good you are, no matter how clever you are, you can't do the things you know you need to be doing to save lives.
I can only imagine the difficult situation for healthcare workers on the ground. I don't know, can you give us some sense of what you're hearing in terms of difficult decisions that are being made and that have to be made?
I think the healthcare workers we're speaking to are just going on and dealing with whoever's in front of them in the best way they can. So, as I said, if they don't have anaesthetic but somebody's bleeding to death, they stitch them up. And that's a horrible thing. This is a horrible thing. You're having to do a thing that you know is very, very painful, but you're doing it to save someone's life. they're having to ration the use of the electricity. So they're having to do procedures only when they've got the light to perform those procedures. So they're having to limit what they're doing. But my understanding is that they are simply doing what they can, doing their very best. And the only reason that the system hasn't completely collapsed is because of those healthcare workers just doing whatever they can to help and save people's lives.
20 trucks for over 2 million people, you know, some of them from you guys with medical aid and obviously food as well and water. 20 trucks for 2 million people, no matter how packed they are, I can't imagine will last very long or go that awfully far. How soon and how quickly do you need to get more aid in?
As soon as, well, days ago, actually, but as soon as possible. Our colleagues in the Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Assistance estimate that you need at least 100 trucks per day to respond to the urgent needs. But to keep things going, it needs to be even more than that. We are really hoping and praying this is the beginning, the trickle that turns into a proper flow of real aid that can save the people, the civilians who need our help so desperately.
I know the World Health Organization had previously called the evacuation order from Israel, calling on or ordering indeed Gaza citizens living in the north to move south. The World Health Organization had called that a death sentence for the sick and the injured who couldn't move south. Do you have any update on those people? Have they been able to move, you know, or not?
So they stayed. The healthcare workers who were looking after people who couldn't be moved, who couldn't safely be moved, have stayed, have put their own lives at terrible risk in order to ensure that their patients can continue to get care. But again, the desperately sick and injured who are on ventilators, who are needing dialysis, who are needing all the other things for which you need electricity, very soon, those ventilators will no longer be able to work because there will be no electricity.
Just finally, Margaret, the WHO has documented 136 attacks on healthcare in Gaza in the 10 days from the 7th to the 17th of October, 493 people killed, 382 injured in attacks. Health has become a target, or do you think health has become a target in the process of this war?
Health, it's almost as if the rules around humanitarian space like health have been forgotten. Unfortunately, my colleague Dr. Mike Ryan was just saying this in our press conference, that this is happening around the world. It seems that combatants have forgotten that this was agreed and understood. Health is a health care, health workers, health places of health care are sanctuaries, so where people come to get help, and they must never be a target.
Dr. Margaret Harris, Public Health Doctor with the World Health Organization. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.